Long before Macon, Georgia was on my personal map, the thriving metropolis of Eatonton, Georgia was an important part of our lives. Because in Eatonton resided my roommate from college and his parents. And virtually every holiday, we spent a little time with them between Christmas and New Year's, and sometimes at New Year's. And our children grew up in that household being adored by Mr. and Ms. McCullough. So, one Christmas holiday season, in fact, 17 years ago, Melissa and I decided to give the McCulloughs a special gift. On our way from Birmingham back to Charlotte, we took a detour, a rather large detour, down to Eatonton, which cost us a few extra gallons of gas, a few more hours traveling with two moody 13-year-olds and a cranky 11-year-old. But we arrived on the McCulloughs' doorstep unannounced. And we did so intentionally because Ms. McCullough was always killing the fatted calf for us. We tried to keep that to a minimum. And they had become so elderly and infirm, they couldn't travel anymore. And we were trying to put as little pressure on her as we could, even though we knew she would scurry about as she did, playing the perfect hostess. But she and Mr. McCullough were so ecstatic. It was as if we had brought them a gift of silver and gold, when in fact we had brought them nothing but a present of our presence. And they beamed that we would think enough of them, that we would love them enough to go out of our way to deliver that gift. It was a gift of silver and gold, the silver and gold of love. Peter and John, I am sure, did not look very prosperous. The man at the gate, the beggar, would have known just by the looks of them that they probably were not very good prospects for alms. And Peter drove that point home to them when he said to the beggar, "Look at us." Silver and gold have we none, but I'll give you what we do have: spiritual power. And he reached down with his hand and took the man's right hand, and because of his openness to God, the strength and healing power of God flowed through him into that man, and he lifted him, and his ankles and feet were so strengthened that he could leap up and walk and jump and praise God. His coins, his pockets were as empty as they were before, but he had received something far more valuable: the transforming presence of the living God, liberation from his infirmity, and a gift of spiritual silver and gold from two men who had compassion on him. Do we read that passage with a little bit of wistfulness? Do we read that passage wishing that somehow we had such openness to God that spiritual power could flow through us into someone else's life and we could lift them up and transform them and liberate them and give them hope? I think of a conversation between the Pope and the great Catholic theologian Thomas Aquinas. The Pope was surveying a table full of riches, and he said, "Well, Thomas, the church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold have we none.'" And Thomas replied, Yes. And the church can no longer say, rise, take up your pallet, and walk. Throughout the Bible, people of faith are bringing transformation and liberation and freedom and redemption to people. And as they have miraculous impact upon suffering lives. But is that placing before us a false fairy tale ambition? Do we have that kind of power? We don't seem to. Can we really bring silver and gold into other people's lives in such a way that we redeem and lift and transform them? Let us not lose confidence in the spiritual power that we have received. We indeed have been given by God spiritual silver and gold. We do indeed have the power to uplift and transform and redeem and have a miraculous impact upon people's lives. If only we live with that kind of attitude. Watching the young men playing basketball yesterday, I couldn't think of but the story of a young black man who was known as Quickie, seventh grader, who was called Quickie because he was quick in stealing cars. He loved especially old Cadillacs because they were the easiest to hotwire. He would wrap his fist in a rag, slam through a window, hop in, hot fire the caddy, and even though he was so small, he could hardly see through the steering wheel, he would drive it to a man who would strip down the Cadillac and sell it for parts. It's probably what happened to our van. And Quickie stole probably 40 Cadillacs in that fashion because he and three of his siblings and his mother were living in the back of a truck and he was just trying to make enough money to survive. He probably stole 40 Cadillacs and only had to jump out of one. But that one changed his life. He hopped in an old caddy, hot-wired it, was starting it, when he heard police sirens very nearby. Looking back to see if the police were coming, he T-boned an old woman who was pulling out of her driveway. Since the caddy was ruined, he hopped out of the caddy, and he wasn't called Quickie for nothing. He took off before the police could catch him. But something about the look of that old woman made him circle back to see if she was okay. She was. She was looking at her damaged car, and she assured him she was okay. And about that time, a police car came around the corner, and the woman, old woman said to Quickie, "Go get on my porch." Now, Quickie's first instinct was to run. But something about that woman's voice and demeanor caused him to go do exactly what she said. The police came, and the old woman said, "Yeah, the kid that hit me, he ran off." And the police said, "What about that kid on your porch?" "Oh, he's my grandson." Police kind of looked at her a little skeptically, but they drove on. She went back to Quickie and said, "Come inside my house." And she asked him, "Why are you wasting your life in this fashion?" He explained his condition, and she said, "I don't care. You can do so much more with what you have been given." She let him go. Quickie stole a couple more Cadillacs. even served as a drug runner for a brief period. But then something about the spiritual seed of silver and gold that old woman had planted in his heart caused him to urge his mama to send him away to his grandmother. And when she did, Quickie became active in his grandmother's church and became a Christian. And developed an interest in athletics. He got a scholarship to Alcorn State, gained a degree in accounting, and was the 213th pick in one of the NFL drafts. Drafted by the Green Bay Packers, Quickie became an all-pro. People know him today as Donald Driver. After he stopped playing, Donald Driver set up a foundation for kids like Quickie and has used that foundation to plant seeds of silver and gold, spiritual silver and gold in young lives. And as long as she lived, Quickie Donald Driver made his way back to Houston to thank the lady he called Grandma Johnson for planting spiritual silver and gold in his soul. It all depends on what kind of attitude with which we live. Years ago, I came across a column on the editorial page of the Charlotte Observer, written by a columnist of that paper. And it was an open letter to his seventh grade PE teacher, a Mr. Williamson. The columnist said that 22 years ago, when he was a seventh grader himself, his family's house burned down and he lost everything. And on Christmas morning of that year, he was in a house with no electricity, no heat, no money, and no hope. He got up and walked past his mother's bedroom, and she was curled up, her face against the wall, absolutely listless, devoid of energy, almost devoid of life, knowing that she couldn't give anything to her children on that day. And then, even as this young man stood mute, wanting to say something to his mama, it's going to be okay. Suddenly, in through the doors burst his seventh grade PE teacher, Mr. Williamson, bearing gifts. And behind him were a host of people from the local Baptist church, bringing food and clothing and toys and hope. The columnist wrote, "I don't know where you are. I don't know what's happened to you. But Mr. Williamson, wherever you are, thank you. Thank you for the gift of hope. Spiritual silver and gold." In this season of life, the season of the year, when it tends to be cold and it tends to be dark and the lovely holidays are over and we're all with a kind of a sense of despair, it's very easy to concentrate upon the things we don't have. But in truth, we've just come out of a season laden with spiritual gifts, hope, joy, peace, love. How can we open them in such a way that we can give spiritual silver and gold to other lives? That's what we're meant to do. We honor this morning the Magi, the so-called wise men, who came from afar with gifts completely unsuitable for children. And they were slow to ask directions. And when they asked directions, they asked precisely the wrong person. But for all of that, they found a place that was not on their map. But they alone had eyes to make their way to the Bethlehem cradle. They alone saw what others did not see. That God had given the world an extraordinary gift, and we rightly praise them as visionaries because they ratified the gift of the Christ for all the world. And though their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh were not exactly kid-friendly, they really brought the present of presents. By their present of presents, they ratified the significance of the Christ gift. We call this Epiphany Sunday from the Greek word epiphanine, which means to make clear. The wise men saw what no one else saw as visionaries. They put together concepts no one else could conjoin. Cradle, King. Stable, Savior. Manger, Messiah. On this Epiphany Sunday, may our eyes be opened to the depth of our giftedness, to the power of our spiritual silver and gold. May we know that we are rich, rich in compassion, rich in mercy, rich in grace, rich in love, rich in hope, rich in peace. And may we find someone whom we can give those gifts. Find a heart to redeem. Find a life to transform. Find a direction to reverse from darkness to light. Find someone to touch with love and faith. Realize the depth of your giftedness, your spiritual silver and gold, and don't keep it. Spend it in the world. Spend it in the world for the sake of the kingdom of God. May indeed this day be an epiphany in which things become clear to us at how richly we are blessed through Jesus Christ. May we pray together. Lord, there are lives like quickies out there. And yes, we complain about what we lack. We complain about the meagerness of our offerings and the difficulties of our finances. But remind us that we have been endowed with spiritual richness, silver and gold. And may we spend it for your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.